Hi, you're listening to View from the Top, the podcast where we aim to provide valuable perspectives and viewpoints from some of the key figures within the leather industry, as well as the latest news and insight from around the world. We upload several free episodes each month on the most exciting topics that are affecting the leather sector right now, available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Deputy Editor Tom Hogarth, and today I'll be joined by Michael Franken, Head of Product Management Finishing at TFL, and Marcus Hess, Head of Product Management Wet End at TFL, to discuss the company's research and development. I'd like to thank TFL for sponsoring this episode. Marcus, Michael, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
Hello, Tom.
Just to get started, could you both introduce yourselves and tell our listeners a bit about your professional backgrounds and TFL?
Yes, my name is Marcus Hess. I'm 61 years old and engaged in the leather industry for 45 years. After my apprenticeship, I was educated to a leather technician and master tanner at the Leather Institute in Reutlingen, Germany. I worked several years in different tanneries before taking the position of technical director at the tannery group Schweitzer in Germany. About half of the 45 working years, I was with tanneries. The other half, I have been working in different positions in the leather chemical supplier industry. First, I worked as a technician at Ciba-Geigy, and then I took care of the US market for TFL as a regional sales manager. Today, I'm the head of product management, beam house, and wet end. In this function, my team and I are in regular exchange with TFL's sales and R&D teams to understand nowadays market requirements and making sure product portfolio and application technologies of TFL are up to date.
Brilliant, thank you. And Michael, how about you?
Yeah, well, same as Marcus, I also belong to the older bones in our industry. And my professional career started also with a classic tanner education. After graduating from high school with apprenticeships in a tannery in Germany, few countries in Europe, and at the end, of course, Reutlingen Tanner School, where I graduated in 88. In 91, I started at Bayer as a travel agent, as a travel technician for finishing. And in the beginning of 2000, I moved to Buenos Aires, where I worked as a regional technical manager for South America. From 2005 until 2021, until last year, I was responsible for the technical marketing and application finishing in Leverkusen. Since last year and since being with TFL, my job is more related to product management finishing, but of course still with a strong link to finishing application.
Brilliant. And can you tell me a little bit about TFL in general?
TFL in general, well, TFL is, I think, quite well known as one of the leading companies, definitely one of the leading companies in the tanning industry, with the full range for all steps, with the full range of products for all steps in leather manufacturing, starting from the beam house through retanning until finishing. And we are present in all countries in the world. We are servicing all the relevant leather markets. That's basically who we are.
Brilliant, thank you. Marcus, for our discussion today, I understand that your focus will be on TFL's research and development in the area of wet end products up to crusting, and Michael will focus on finishing. But why should we exclude beam house operations?
Well, first, raw hides and skins are 100% renewable. And our goal is to produce leather with the highest possible bio-based carbon content. Leather should be recognized as a product of nature, opposite to artificial materials, which are mainly based on fossil chemistry. Tom, now back to your question, why excluding beam house operations? Beam house processes are very important. They are a prerequisite to make a nice piece of leather. In soaking, unhairing, liming, deliming, and baiting, we remove hair, grease, and proteins, which need to be treated as valuable side stream products. Beam house processes are selectively removing non-leather components, and therefore do not contribute to the bio-based carbon content of leather. As a result, for instance, Wet Blue is providing 99% bio-based carbon content, about the same as a rawhide, in spite of the beam house operations.
Fantastic. That's really interesting. And Michael, to go back to you, what are the main drivers for TFL to move from fossil fuel to renewable carbon-based raw materials for its next generation of products?
Well, the key words in this context, they are greenhouse effect and climate change. We must and we want to act against global warming. And when consumer goods, which are made from millions of years old fossil oil, are incinerated at their end of life, this contributes to global warming. In contrast, materials which are and articles which are made from sustainable and natural sources, they will have a significantly lower impact on the heating up of our planet.
Brilliant. And Marcus, could you give me some examples of the feedstocks for the next generation of renewable carbon leather chemicals and how these are sourced?
Yes, the leather chemical industry, including, of course, TFL, has a long history of utilizing renewable substances in their products like animal and vegetable oils and hydrolysates, lignin and vegetable extracts, as well as enzymes, for example. Also, cellulose has been used since decades in finishing applications as nitrocellulose top coats. And just recently, TFL developed a cellulose-based wet-end polymer with staggering 94% biocontent and launched it under the name of MagnoPal Pure A. And more wet-end polymer products are in our R&D pipeline with high renewable content.
Interesting. And I wondered if either of both or both of you could tell me, how do you accurately measure and calculate the bio-based content of leather chemicals and finished leather?
Well, bio-based leather chemicals are made of renewable biomass, of course, that can have undergone either physical or chemical or biological treatment. But also fossil components, minerals, and salt can often be part of bio-based leather chemicals. Simply speaking, bio-based leather chemicals are in most cases cocktails of different ingredients, which we chemically functionalize for their specific applications. The big question always is, how much nature is in bio-based leather chemicals embedded? And there were material balance methods according to DIN EN 16785 determines the percentage of renewable biomass in relation to a total dry weight of a leather chemical. Opposite to leather chemicals, we don't know the relation of biomass versus dry weight of leather. Therefore, the bio-based carbon content of, for instance, Wet Blue, Wet White, or crust and finished leather is analyzed by the radiocarbon method AST MD6866.
Yeah, and to have a starting point for the development of a retanning or a finishing system, we have developed what we call a biocalculator. This biocalculator contains the mathematically calculated biomass of each of our products, which enables both tanner and finisher to search and pre-select the right products to optimize the bio content in each manufacturing step. That's a big progress.
Interesting. Thank you. And what's the relation between bio-based content of leather chemicals and the bio-based carbon content of leather?
Well, Tom, very interesting. As stated at the beginning, Wet Blue has a bio-based carbon content of about 99%. And the wet end chemicals applied will then determine the final bio-based content of a resulting crust. Let's look at a standard wet end formulation, which contains about 15% of total bio content. And an optimized wet end formulation can reach a total of up to 65% bio content by utilizing TFL's Pure Range products. The crust treated with a standard wet end formula will end up at about 80% bio-based carbon content, a drop of about 20% due to a fossil-loaded wetting chemistry. On the other hand, the crust processed with an optimized wet end formula delivers about 90% bio-based carbon content.
All right, in finishing, we find products from anything between 0% and close to 100% bio content. And the highest bio contents we find in traditional nitrocellulose, caseins, natural waxes, and oils. In the field of classic synthetic finishing products, the most important ones are the binders for their high share in finishes. Traditional acrylics and polyurethanes, they contain zero renewable raw materials, but especially in the field of PUDs, modern technology can lead up to 50% renewable chemistry in individual product, and this is a high number. By making use of such products, realistic shoe upper leather good finishing recipes, they can even exceed 65% biomass, while automotive recipes, by today's standards, they can reach up to 35% biomass. And this is important without sacrificing performance.
Thanks. Michael, how do you ensure these renewable carbon resources can perform as well as fossil fuel-based options and not have a serious impact of their own on the planet's resources?
Well, the performance of bio-based products that can easily be measured and compared with traditional fossil fuel-based products. Handling application as well as application rates are in most cases identical or at least very similar. Simple comparison trials give exact information about the visual and the haptic characteristics in the same way as the measurable performance. With regards to the impact of renewable raw materials on the planet's resources, it's important to establish close cooperation with trustworthy raw material suppliers and partners with the same sense of responsibility and attitude as ours. In view of the expected increase in demand for renewable products, the use of renewable product materials must not, and this is clearly the case, must not contribute to further deforestation. And for this reason, we are looking more and more into the use of vegetable waste from plants, from the food, or from the industrial chain.
Fascinating. Thank you. And I wonder if you could both tell me, when it comes to cost, performance, and durability, can these new products produce leathers at least as good as those that use fossil fuel-derived raw materials? And would anyone looking at two pieces of leather made for the same end-use application be able to tell the difference by sight or touch?
Well, establishing wet-end formulas with a high bio-based content require a wide range of individual products, which not only have a high percentage of renewable biomass, but also fulfilling highest requirements. I think of low emission, for instance, high light and heat fastness. And TFL, we have currently 21 wet end products in our portfolio with a bio-based content of 50% and bigger. And we call this range the pure range. Within our pure range, we have softening agents, filling and dyeing auxiliaries, as well as polymers, which enables us to create articles which are comparable to standard articles in regard to haptic and performance, from automotive leathers all the way to garment leathers.
Michael, anything to add?
To answer this question with regards to finishing, we must differentiate between different leather articles and which biomass is used to produce these articles. Finishing products based on renewable raw materials, they are in use ever since. And think of natural waxes, oils, caseins, and as Marcus mentioned previously, the cellulose of which we make nitrocellulose. These products, they were already in use when the term renewable biomass was not even invented. What is new is the use of renewable raw materials in typical synthetic products like polyurethanes, isocyanates. These products are needed and highly appreciated in high-performance leather articles. If we look at the difference between a traditional purely synthetic PUD or an isocyanate crosslinker versus the same product made with the highest possible share of renewable biomass, these products, they can easily keep up with the traditional ones in terms of performance and appearance. Vegetable biomass is only the starting point from which raw materials are obtained for the manufacture of such high-performance products.
Thank you, Michael. Marcus, I wondered if you could tell me what new innovations does TfL have in the pipeline for the wet end?
Well, one focus in our developments is the recycling of collagen-based byproducts to retanning chemicals. A range of products have been developed based on this approach, which can replace at least partly traditional fillers, resins, and even zintans in wet end processes. The main raw materials for these products are shavings. So the most sustainable way, of course, is to have those chemicals produced there where the byproducts are generated and the resulting chemicals are used, which means on site at the tannery. And this concept we have developed and to promote with our X-Biomer in situ technology.
Brilliant, thank you. And can you tell me what the most technically challenging part of the wet end process is when it comes to making the switch to renewable-based raw materials for your chemicals?
Yeah, well, our pure range, as I mentioned, is rather complete and offers products for softening, filling, tightening, and leveling. Nevertheless, we are working on additional newcomers in these fields, as mentioned before. We are also investing R&D capacity to explore alternatives to fossil-based replacement zintans. Vegetable extracts, for instance, can partly fill this gap. However, they might have limitations when exposed to light, heat, and humidity.
Brilliant, thank you. Michael, to return to you, what new innovations does TfL have in the pipeline for finishing? And can these products be used for different applications such as spray, roller, or curtain coat finishes?
Well, there's a whole lot of finishing products we are currently developing, and which make sense or which make use of renewable biomass. It's only natural that not all products can have the same high share of renewable chemistry, but it is our declared goal to make use of the highest possible content depending on the final use of the product. Such products are not only POD-based products for their high performance, but also POD-containing products and compounds for shoe upper, leather goods, and also furniture upholstery articles. With regards to the application methods you're asking for, one can see these products as plug-in products, which require no changes at all with regards to their use. Such bioproducts, they are used in exactly the same way as their fossil siblings, or should I say predecessors.
Indeed. And are there more challenges in providing a robust finish for end-use applications in automotive than in footwear, leather goods, garment, or furniture?
Oh, yeah. There are certainly quite a few challenges which we are facing when it comes to automotive leather in comparison to other leather articles. There's a big trend in automotive leather to move away from rather heavy finishes towards more natural finishes. And this is a good trend because by doing so, the automotive leather is given a good chance to highlight what this material is loved for, namely its naturalness. The big challenge in this context is to combine thin and elegant finishes with the required abrasion, wear performance, durability, anti-soiling, anti-squeak, and so on and so on. And this is what we are working on intensively, and the use of bio-based products in this context is it's not a hurdle anymore.
Brilliant. Thank you, Michael. That brings us to the end of our episode today. I just wanted to thank you both for joining me. It's been really interesting.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
That's all for today. As always, thank you for listening to View from the Top, the official ILM podcast. You can find all of our episodes on the ILM website, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more of the latest news and opinion from the leather industry, head to internationalleathermaker.com.